Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Either way, holiday weekend coming up, you've either already been in a swimming pool, you're already thinking about a swimming pool, or you're going somewhere with water in the next few days. I don't know. Maybe you're going to Walmart, you're buying an inflatable pool, and you're saying, damn it, I don't make it to the lake, but I'll make it to my own. And you're also, you're bought in. Love to see it. James in the house tonight. Dusty with you tonight. We're going to have Harold Kuntz of Fox 4 join us later on around 6:30. He was at OTAs. We'll talk a little bit of Chiefs, but I'm going to tell you right now, there are 8 segments within this show of 3 hours that are put in a rundown. I'm going to tell you how I did my show today. I'm going to be honest with you. There are 6.5 that are Royals. And if you're rolling your eyes and you're telling yourself, oh, man, I don't need any baseball, I want Chiefs talk, this show ain't for you tonight. Because, damn it, sorry for cussing, the Royals have earned this spotlight. This is what we wanted 2 months ago when we were wrapping up season 2 of After Hours. Thanks for joining for the second season, season 3 in a few months. How you doing? I am ecstatic. This is what we love when it comes to summer. Like, if you were to give me a collage, a page of what summer is, there'd be a little firework emoji. There would be somebody's dad in a grilling apron cooking dogs, sausages, brats, burgers, steaks, whatever it is you put on a charcoal grill. There is a calendar that says out of town for the weekend because it's summer and you're on vacation. And in the middle of that collage is a gigantic baseball, because that's what summer is to me, and that's what summer's going to be for a lot of you, and I think you're ready for it. Because 2 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, there were still some of you that said to yourself, oh, I'm going to wait till June. Well, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you something, wait till June guy. This boat is getting ready to leave. This royal ship of fan base in this city is about to embark in the middle of the ocean of fandom of summer baseball, and we ain't coming back to pick you up. We ain't turning around. We're on this together once it leaves land, and it's damn near leaving. Like, we've taken the last rope off that little metal hook that's on the starboard side of your ship, and it's one more. The horn is blown. You've got the off day tomorrow to let yourself know, okay, I'm in. Or you can be the curmudgeon that sits in the corner, that refuses to buy the app, that refuses to listen to this radio station, because sometimes I shout, but only when I'm excited. I can't stand up right now. I'm wearing really revealing pants. James has seen them. And the thing about this Royals fanship is that it's about to leave, because at 32-19 and tying the record of the franchise, 1969, now you're done. Franchise record for a start, 32-19, baby, this ship is fueled. This baby is stocked. Every room comes with a refrigerator that you need a little key to open it. And it says, the first shelf is on us, and it's Malibu, Jack Daniels, Bacardi, soda water, Sweeps, whatever it's called. And then there's a ginger ale. So if you don't want to drink booze, there's fine. But this fan base is ready to embark on what is a summer trip. And that summer trip starts off right now at 32-19. I've been on the boat. Hell, I've overstayed my early welcome. I've seen everybody's room, what it's going to look like for you when you join this fun, because back-to-back sweeps? Oh, Dusty. But they played the A's, and they played the Tigers. Cool. They beat them 6 times and lost to them 0. Oh, but they played the Angels on the West Coast. They lost one game. They got 25 quality starts and 51 games. What else is there? Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo, the hell with it. It's Glavine and Smoltz. It's Maddox and Glavine. It's Pettit and Clemens. And we haven't even gotten to the Perez and the Bobby Witt comparison. You might have two players finish in the top five in MVP, and you also might have two pitchers finish in the top five in the Cy Young race. How you doing? You better believe we're excited. Turn your damn radio up. Tune into Vern 30 minutes early. Tune into him 30 minutes late. This is going to be fun, but you've got till tomorrow. That's on me. Oh, Michael Massey's not going to do it. Why do you like him so much? How you doing? Four straight games, been on base twice at least, twice in four straight games. The Royals have pulled off, what, 9 out of their last 10? And here's this for you.
In a world where the stakes are high and the competition fierce, one team rises above the rest, the Kansas City Royals.
Listen to the noise. Build here in Kansas City.
Led by their young phenoms and fueled by the passion of their loyal fans, they've set their sights on one goal, the AL Central crown.
Let's go!
But standing in their way are the Giants of the division, ready to crush their dreams and snatch the title for themselves.
The way these two teams competed tonight, we saw an epic battle.
In a season filled with highs and lows, triumphs and setbacks, the Royals must dig deep, rally together, and fight with everything they've got. This summer, witness the heart-pounding action, the unforgettable moments, and the relentless pursuit of glory. This is their time. This is their story. This is Royals baseball.
I'm telling you, if you don't feel that in your plums, in your stomach, in your throat, your heart, your skin, you're everywhere. If you ain't feeling it, I'm telling you, man, this ship is getting ready to leave. This ship is getting ready. And when we're in the middle of the Caribbean Sea waiting for you to see, man, I wish I'd have taken that trip. How many times in your life have you ever done that? How many times in your life? I know I've done at least 3 or 4 times. Right? Where like my friend's like, hey, we're going to go to random trip. We're going to go to Omaha this weekend. You want to come around? I had nothing to do. I was like, nah, man, I really don't want to deal with it. When they had the time of their life, I saw pictures, I saw a video. I was like, man, I wish I'd have done that. It's a different team this year, Daddy. It's a different team. And I get it. I get it. Maybe some of you didn't jump around in 15 and 16 and 14 and all those years. But hey, here's your chance. You saw how great this city was. And I know there's a really good football team that's made its case for the team of the town. I understand. But I know what this town looked like in 14 and 15. I know what this town felt like in 14 and 15, and it was one heck of a party. Now, I'm not saying World Series, but the one thing that I said 2 months ago, as we're wrapping everything up, I said, please just let me lead a St. Joe arrival of the Super Bowl defending champs that are going to go win or go try to win 3 in a row, right? That are going to try to win 3 in a row and lead St. Joe with the Kansas City Royals are either leading, whatever. They're 32-19 and it's May 22nd. They have an off day tomorrow. That is your day. That is your day to decide. Are you on this ship? Are you on this summer love and fun trip that's going to be Royals baseball for a while? Because I don't see it going anywhere. I don't see it sinking, buddy. So you got tomorrow. If you're not already there, and I know most of you are. I know most of you are. I know I am. I know James is. I'm breathing. I promise. But I'll tell you what. There's still more to come. There's still more to come. I'll tell you why I think this team is a little bit more successful, a lot more successful than it was last year. I give it a weird comparison because, of course, I'm weird. That's James. I'm Dusty Likens. This is After Hours, and you're listening to 610 Sports Radio. day. Back-to-back sweeps. The boys are playing some ball. Telling you. Somebody from the 816, hey, Crown Jewel. That's what they call me. I didn't come up with it. To all those Royals doubters, the Royals are scoring a bunch of runs, and it's not like they are barely squeaking by. They are dialed in. Yeah. Yeah. What was it yesterday? It was the top half of the lineup. Today was the second half of the lineup. Everybody's vibes are bouncing off each other. You love to see it. It's a different team than last year. It's clearly, evidently obvious. It's a different Royals fan probably than last year than it is this year, right? Like, James, you'd mentioned something on a social media platform and said, if you're not in, why?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I bought in a long time ago. I mean, mid-April. But if you haven't bought in at this point, what are you waiting on?
Right.
I don't understand, and maybe you don't want to spend money on the app or whatever, but...
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, at some point, you need to support this team. This is a baseball town once again.
And that's the thing that's interesting, right, is that for a lot of people have said that and I've listened to Vern's postgame show, and I more often than you probably think. I mean, I am that guy. I'm like creepily in love with Vern. So just to listen to it, because it reminds me of, I could give you a short little story. When I was in college finishing up my degree, I would drive home doing play-by-play for the high school football team, and I would tune into Vern. And so that part of me has never left. This is before I even knew Vern, before I was even at Vern's wedding. That's right. Full circle. And I'm still that goofy college kid with no girlfriend except sports. Listening to Vern. So I listen to you guys and I hear what people say, but we can all agree that this is a different team. But we can kind of believe, and I know there's not everybody that will, or think, oh yeah, it's easy now. Hindsight's 20/20. But the thing about this team that is similar is some people have compared it to that 13 season, right? Yeah, but that 13 season, they weren't this good yet. Right? Like what we mentioned, I think today, Reagan's threw another quality start. Marsh threw another one last night. They've now at like 25 or 26 quality starts in 52 games. They're 32-19, 51 games. 51 games, they're 32-19. We've given you the numbers before. Last year, they didn't win their 28th win until after the All-Star break. We're still a full month and a half away from the All-Star break. June 4th. That's the date. June 4th. That's Cleveland. That's the team you want. Who won again today? Because, of course, Cleveland has pissed my father off more than I ever have in my life, and I've been on Earth 36 years. And Cleveland has you pissed. And I saw a text earlier, and it says, you know, the reason why I think people aren't as bought in is they're afraid to get hurt. Well, I'm going to be real quick and easy with you. If it hurts, it's because you felt it. If it doesn't hurt, right? Like last year when you turned the Royals on, it'd be 7-1 in the second inning and you were down by 6. It didn't hurt. You're like, whatever. Because you weren't in. You didn't care. This team's 32-19. Their worst losing streak is 3. They've only lost back-to-back games 4 times. One of those was a 3-game losing streak. They've rallied off, 9 of their last 10? They've scored 8 runs in their last 4 games, at least? No. Teams like that, those aren't fake teams. And the reason they're not a fake team, and the reason they're not fool's gold, is because it starts with what they did, right? And the comparison that I said at the tease that I was going to compare this team to, or the analogy, or the metaphor, whatever it is weird, but... Hello, Dusty Likens. Nice to meet you. Do it all the time. It's like a brisket, right? Last year, you bought your brisket. And you all know, maybe you don't, if you prepare a brisket on a smoker, there's a lot of trimming of fat that you have to do. There's a lot of getting rid of stuff you don't need that's just there. And last year, we were going through the downs and downs and laughters of, why is Hunter Dozier playing? Why does this man have a sandwich after him? He can't even hit 200. But boy, Bobby Witt's great. I can see it. Salvador Perez, he's still great. I can see it. But when you look at this team, what they did was they trimmed away Mike Matheny. Not good for a young team. They even gave him a year of understudy, and he still couldn't cut it. And now you have a coach who's perfect for a team like this. Matty Q is about as cool as a cucumber. Or as the late, great Scott would, Stuart Scott would say, he's cool as the other side of the pillow. He just is. I asked him a question Friday night in the press room. I said, last year you didn't win your 27th game until after the All-Star game. What's changed? He goes, yeah, people keep bringing up last year. We don't even remember last year. It's gone. They trimmed away the fat. They got rid of guys that weren't going to be here, that maybe looked over their shoulder a little bit more insecurely than they should have. Right? Maybe Brad Keller wasn't a team guy. He saw this coming. He's like, ah, someone's going to take my job. I don't like it here. And his performance lacked. You went out and got pitching. You've built a rapport around that pitching staff. And again, I say it all the time, because if you've missed it because you've been watching the games and now you are because you're bought in, welcome to the ship. Welcome to the yacht. The Royals summer winning yacht. It's going to be fun. And the thing about it is everybody on this team is playing for one of another. And it starts at the top. Sherman came in here and he said, I want to go back to 14 and 15. It was so fun. I want to bring that back. He paid your superstar. That superstar, as Vern said, gave you his 20s. He was bought in. Salvador Perez is hitting the absolute cover off the baseball at 34 years young of age. And this pitching staff has put together 25 quality starts. 25. A year ago, this pitching staff's ERA was 5+. Now this year's pitching staff is 3+. That's a 2-run differential. You're hitting the ball. You're playing baseball. You're playing games. You're sweeping teams. You swept back-to-back teams. You took 3 out of 4. It starts at the top. Because you don't have a general and a head coach. You got a general and a bullpen arm. But you don't have that general of a head coach, that red ass. Damn it, we lost. We've lost 19 times. We shouldn't lose any times. And now you have a coach saying, hey, guys, go out there and play your game. If you need anything, my office is down the way. Speaks to the media in a professional manner. Runs the team how you'd like to see somebody run a team, because he was part of those Rays teams. They've trimmed the fat. They've made it a prized possession. And now that sucker's ready to be put on the smoker, sit back, relax, enjoy, and watch it come to fruition. Because the chef at the head of the table knows exactly what he's doing, and he's never been really downgraded before. So enjoy it. Coming up next is Harold Koontz of Fox 4. He'll join us. I'll try to get him to break character. It's not hard. Dusty Likens. That's James. It's 610 Sports Radio. Listen to After Hours.
Hey, this is Brett Veach, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
And we'll never be royals. It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of...
Back here on 610 Sports Radio. Dusty Likens with you. Sorry. Get choked up. For some reason, I thought we lost Lord. I thought she went to a better place. But I guess she's still alive. Harold Koontz joins us now. Harold, how are you this afternoon, or I guess this evening, even though it looks like it's still afternoon?
I know, right? What's the late day? June 21st? I think that's the latest day. We're getting close. But, yeah, I mean, the Royals are going to be in contention by June 21st this time around, right, guys?
I think they're already there, Daddy. I think they're already. Damn, I think they're, what, 5.5 games up for the next closest wild card team? They're only a half game out of the top spot of the wild card. Hell, half the league gets in. And all they got to do is just play Cleveland.
Yes. Cleveland and Minnesota.
Yeah, they get 4 against Minnesota after this 3-game set against Tampa Bay, and then it should be interesting. But it's funny you mentioned the Royals, because I do want to talk Chiefs OTA, but the Chiefs can, for one damn second in this town for over the last 7 years, the Chiefs can take a damn backseat, Harold, okay? And we can get into this Royals conversation, because I know you're watching, and I'm interested to know, when it comes to this Royals team, what does Harold Koontz, when he sits down on his couch, What is it that got that has your needle moving when you watch this Royals team?
What's got my needle moving is when Cole Reagans pitches, when he has 12 strikeouts like he does today and have complete command of three pitches. What moves me is watching Seth Lugo with his eight pitches go to work. What impresses me is Brady Singer increasing that ERA. He's down to twos now, mid threes. Michael Walker, I mean, Alex Marsh is your number five, and we don't talk about him enough as being a great five. The starting pitching has been absolutely fantastic for the Royals. It's been above and beyond even what I think the people that got them on board think, and that's what's really impressing me. And then whenever Bobby Witt makes a defensive play, I always say, like, oh, he made another defensive gem, just because, like, you just take it for granted. You shouldn't, but you do. It's very much like what we see from 15 across the parking lot there. You just take it for granted. Bobby Witt's very much getting into that take-it-for-granted territory, and it's just been pretty impressive all the way around. I have nothing but really good things to say about them right now, which is amazing. We're even discussing how good they are.
And May 22nd is the date. I wanted to do I've been leading this on all sort of off season of when I do shows because the Royals take over. I'm so glad that they do because when I signed off for the normal stretch of the season, they're like, oh, we'll miss you. I was like, yeah, this Royals team will make you forget about me real quick. Nobody even knows I exist. And I think the reason is because of where this team is that plays at Kauffman Stadium. And I do want to bring up the comparison you make about 15 and 7 where you take things for granted. Like, I think there was a stat last night where Bobby Witt Jr. is the first shortstop and the only shortstop other than, like, Cal Ripken and, I forget, Barry Larkin to have, like, six RBIs, two home runs all in one game or some crazy stat. And it's like we started seeing this last year, Harold, as you'd see Bobby Witt's name be on a list of, like, Mike Trout and A-Rod and you know, all these big players that have done it. And now this year, it's like it's even elevated itself even more. We're like, that 468-foot tank shot last night wasn't even like the greatest thing of the night. It was like he came up for the fourth time, and the guys were like, yeah, he's got six RBIs tonight. And I'm like, how does he already have – it's just – it's stuff like that. It's not like Mahomes-ish where there's like a no-look throw, but it's like he throws a no-look throw, but we look at his stat line, we're like, yeah, he had five touchdowns, 498 yards. You're like – Bobby Witt Jr. was 4-for-5 and had 6 RBIs, 2 home runs. And, oh, by the way, one of those was a tank shot of almost 470.
Yeah, he's ridiculous right now. It's absolutely ridiculous what he's doing. I mean, think about this. We saw him earlier. He was talking to kids at Ingalls Elementary, and then all of a sudden he goes out there and just rakes. It's like he can't do no wrong right now. It's really impressive to watch. I mean, I really love to watch him play defense out there at short. I think that's just – that's exceptional between him and Garcia right there. I mean, that's very patrolled very well out there. Becoming an everyday guy, too, which you like to see out of your shortstops. Likes the game, you know, hits for power. I mean, today I'm watching him leg out a double for absolutely zero reason. Legs out a double in a 6-2 game. From a basic hit right to the center. Like, he's just showing off speed. There's a real appreciation for what he's doing right now. I mean, there's sometimes you don't want to be like the PR for a team, but like right now there's nothing but good things to say. They're on a hot streak right now. It's just impressive to watch. Like this is, I mean, like we watched last year and like you said, Dusty, there's plenty of times where you're like, okay, they definitely have the makings of something special here, but you never know until it just looks a lot better when it's a winning team. I mean, what was really cool was, we're sitting here interviewing the guys in the clubhouse after the game today, and on the screen right in front of where Freddie Fermin and Nelson Velasquez are talking, there's intentional talk on MLB Network, and it says, is Bobby Witt the AL MVP frontrunner? And you're just like, and they're discussing this while they're talking about it, and they're just like, yeah, you know, like there's a very quiet, I mean, like, when, trust me, when baseball teams get on a winning streak, there's a very quiet confidence for them. Like, even the Royals, in the midst of their losing last year, they still had a 7-game winning streak. It was actually right around the 25th win, coincidentally. But it's just you sense there's a confidence there. And again, we're going to learn a lot about this team in June when they're facing the Yankees, when they're facing the Dodgers, when they got that series against Cleveland. They got the Padres in there too. I mean, like they're going to face some teams with some real talent. But that's where we're really going to find out the mettle of this team when they get through June and it's the dog days, and you know, who knows what how tired they may be. So we'll see what happens there. But right now, I mean, there's nothing but good things to say.
You would say you're all in?
I wouldn't say I'm all in yet.
Oh,
I want
Harold.
To see June. I want to see June.
Okay. You've been doing this a while, so I trust you. But, I mean, look, man, I
want to see a four-game series against the Yankees. I want to see them at Dodger Stadium with that lineup. I want to see them against the AL guard and the Twins and the Guardians.
Mm.
I need to see – I mean, we're nearing a third of the season here, so you don't want to jump to conclusions yet, but I want to see quality competition, how they stack up. Get out of there with a split, you know, look maybe still one or two here. That's what I want to see, and I think then I can make an assessment.
When you look at this team, like who's kind of like your side guy, like you know, like for like Seinfeld. Obviously Jerry and like Elaine and George are there, but sometimes there's you know a Kramer fan or there's a Newman fan. Like who's your Newman or who's your side character that you kind of find yourself rooting for when you watch this team? That's not Sal or Cole or Seth or Bobby. Like who's the other guy?
Got to look at the leadoff guy.
Yeah.
Michael Garcia, I think. I mean, we all talk about Bobby setting the tone in the two spot, but and we all know about Vinny and what he can do and what Salvi can do and everything. But, I mean, you look at the top of the order here with Mikel. He makes things go because that makes it – if Mikel's going, that means you've got four, maybe five guys that for certain are going to get you on base because the bottom of the order is still a problem. I know they're probably looking at an outfielder that can hit. In fact, they already had, and then he went to the Padres. But yeah, they're looking at that, and obviously they're looking at some guys at the bullpen too. But it is very interesting to see Mikel do his thing out there. I mean, he was great today. He was excellent today. He was pretty good this series too. With the homestand, he's really good. He sets the tone. And I think if you got four or five good bats at the top with Mikel, you know, he can be up and down. But if he gets it going, I think there's good things that are happening there when he sets the tone.
All right, let's flip over real quick to OTAs today. I guess
the other number seven.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Oh man, no, it's crazy, man. Like I said, the Chiefs can take a damn back seat. They've had the spotlight, and I know that you know they were practicing today, and oh man, they didn't have pads on, and 15 threw a ball to Hollywood, and it was deep, like. Do you see any sort of difference that you haven't seen? Like, it's very vague tonight with the Chiefs. Harold, like, was there anything different from any other session that you've seen in the last 7 years that have been led by 15 in the Chiefs?
No, I mean, but they're going to try. I sent some 2018 vibes coming with trying to get that ball vertical and quickly, too, with the speed of Hollywood Brown. With Rashee, with whatever his availability may be during the regular season. Of course, Xavier, when he's healthy, he was out with a tweaked hamstring. But we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a vertical passing attack. They're trying to get something going back that way, and they're going to use that speed. And that's the biggest takeaway for this because it's a passing camp. I mean, they're not even going to get the pads in training camp where we can actually run the ball and see what they got going on there. But frankly, they're trying to get vertical, and this team needs to get vertical. They have to evolve as an offense because you can't just do the same thing over and over. Other teams are going to figure something out eventually. I mean, they did. We saw that when they figured it out in one of the grandest stages of them all, and when it came to the Super Bowl, and they figured things out there. But although that was with the benefit of an offensive line being down, but yeah, they got to get back to being vertical. They know they got to be more explosive in their attack. I mean, there is plenty of statistics that were thrown out there last year about not being a deep threat enough, how Tyreek was going to do it. I mean, they still won the Super Bowl, but there's always room for improvement. And that's the good thing about the Kansas City Chiefs organization is that they have room for improvement. I like the fact that they're facing a defense that they know them well. They know them well. Like, both sides know each other well, so it's good competition out there. And even in a little period like OTAs where it's just shells, they're still getting after it. And, I mean, it's a good thing to have that level of competition. The secondary is getting tested. Even Trent McDuffie saying today, like, look, they're rolling back there. He knows they can go deep. And Hollywood adds a different element to that. That deep threat's going to be something to look out for this season for sure.
Who takes the place of a Legarius Sneed? I know he's not really replaceable. He's a stud corner. He's on a Tennessee Titans team for some reason. I don't know. But what do you see this year? Obviously, you bring up the defense. I know it may not be the same as last year's defense. There's a chance it could be better. I don't know if that's possible, but who takes over that place for L'Jarius Sneed? Who's kind of that battery mate to Trent McDuffie? Because I assume he slides over and he's captain of the cornerback room at this point.
Well, it's important to note that they have a couple guys back and a couple guys that are going to improve. Shamari Connor is a player that Trent McDuffie said today. He's going to be all over the place. He's a switchblade. In fact, Shamari Connor was asking Trent McDuffie for help on certain places and certain positions with certain coverages. And Trent's like, even I don't even know that because that's not my role. Like, you got that going. And Trent's going to have to step up and be a leader. He admitted he has to be vocal to take that role. So I kind of see them reverting back to, like, maybe not somebody just a lockdown corner on a receiver like the way L'Jarius was, but maybe to a little bit of committee. But the fact that they have Brian Cook back, the fact that they have Nazi Johnson back from his ACL tear and training camp. Brian Cook looks back. He's cutting. He's doing good things out there. He's active. You have obviously Josh Williams. You have Jalen Watson. It's available competition, but it's good competition for the young guys. It's going to be interesting to see when they get to training camp and throughout even OTAs, because this is a passing camp, what they can do. And they got options back there. I think that's why. I mean, let's add in Nick Jones. Obviously, you can add in Jalen Hicks, the rookie that was just drafted from Washington State, and Hicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got some options back there. I think there's a lot of guys, and that's going to be a good position to watch going forward because there's going to be some pretty talented guys that might find themselves on the block looking for gigs at other places too. So that's going to be very competitive. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that secondary swings out because it's not going to be locked down anymore. It's going to be by committee, but again, when you go to training camp up there in St. Joe, they're going to be doing well on speed and a lot of guys that are improving and also looking for jobs too on the receiving end. So we'll be watching some one-on-ones for sure at training camp and see how that all progresses because there are some guys that definitely have the opportunity to make a name for themselves. They got to go out there and get it.
Yeah, I've already said I think I'm going to have a feeling that we're going to lead St. Joe day one at St. Joe on Saturday morning with the Royals topic because, look, Harold, the ship leaves tomorrow. The all-in ship leaves tomorrow. You've got 24 hours on the off day to get on the boat because it doesn't turn around. Harold, it's not going to turn around and pick you up in June 15th when they win 2 out of 3 versus Cleveland and sweep your Yankees. So you got till tomorrow.
They're not my Yankees.
I know.
Not my Yankees. I mean, if we want to talk about my team is actually better than the Yankees, Philadelphia Phillies. But that's the one. That's the team I grew up with. So
that's fair.
It's all right.
The all-in ship leaves tomorrow. So if you want to cocktail it up with your boy on the top tier of the deck, we got to know by tomorrow if you're ready.
I'm ready to go all in.
Okay.
Okay. Tomorrow, if you're saying tomorrow, I'll go all in.
Okay.
But I want to see, the pitching's the one, the health is important.
Yep.
The pitching health is important. Like, if they shove the way they're shoving, and what happens when the adjustment to the adjustment is, right? That's what I always say about baseball. Mm-hmm. It's always fascinating to watch when the adjustment to the adjustment is made. And I don't think we've seen some slight adjustments, but I don't think we've seen the full, hitters are kind of figuring some things out here. Like, we thought Reagans might have got figured out a little bit, but turns out he really hasn't been because he had great performances booking in this homestand. So there's a lot to offer and a lot to see out there, but we just got to watch it. I mean, it's going to be fun to see. I mean, I want to, like, again, knowledgeably, I want to wait till June. I want to see how they play against these teams in the dog days.
Nah, that's nonsense.
If you want to go all in, mm-hmm. like, first off, I thought 75 wins would be pretty good for this team. I thought 80 would be exceptional.
Well, they're going to have that 80, July. 80,
85. They might. I mean, well, I don't know what happened in July. But again, like, it just looks good now. But
for
like,
sure.
They humbled the Tigers. They're supposed to humble the Athletics. They're doing what they should do. They're beating bad teams. Mm-hmm. And they're beating the brakes out of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that I like to see. Like, you take a bad team like Oakland that comes to town, a team you should probably sweep, and you sweep them. You take, like, the White Sox when they won 6 or 7 of them earlier in the year. Obviously the Mariners and the Rangers, you know, those are some battles, but those teams are in contention in the NLS. They have all the signs of a team that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, like, when they go to the Rays, they should win that series.
Mm-hmm.
They should take 2 or 3 from the Rays.
Oh, you know Matty Q wants that series.
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors at play here that say to yourself and to Royals fan self, there's an expectation now. So if you want to buy into the expectation, absolutely. If you want to buy into the expectation that they should earn a playoff spot, I say absolutely. You should go there because every statistical thing that you look at, when you look at the ERA, when you look at the top four in the lineup with their OPS, when you look at Salvi and the way he started the season, when you look at Bobby and his consistency, everything says this is a playoff team. So they should be held at a playoff standard. The only thing that is really key is, can they do it against teams that win? And we'll see that coming up later.
That's right. Well, you've had a long day, my man. I bid you adieu. I hope you get some sleep. It's been a long one for Harold. We gotta pick you up tomorrow on the Starburn side of the ship to Party Town. So, Harold, I appreciate the time. Get some rest, and we will talk to you again later this summer when we're in the middle of the winning ocean.
All right, man.
Take care. Harold Koontz of Fox 4. He's a little tired. He might be a little tired. I'm not. We're here till 9 o'clock coming up. The NBA, one of its greatest things it's ever produced. Not on the court, but off the court. We may never see again, and there's a game tonight. I get to talk a little bit of NBA because it's relevant. It's After Hours of 610 Sports Radio. Here on 610 Sports Radio After Hours. So I want to have like a slight conversation with you. Text line 913-586-7610. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. James, Dusty, we're with you until 9 o'clock. Fast first hour. It always goes by fast. You mean to tell me, and from what I've seen from more people, that you'd rather have early fall than what's outside right now? Dude, James, you shake your head, man. I brought up what's the best season of all. Like, where do you rank it? And I would say 7 out of 10 people would respond and say that, like, late September to mid-October is the best, is the prime, is the filet mignon of seasons. Where I've always said, the end of May to, like, mid-June cannot be topped.
100%. And I don't know, maybe people are thinking, like, they're just tired of the summer. They're tired of the heat. Mm-hmm. And then when we come down, you know, that those September months, October months, it's a relief. No doubt about it. It's a relief to finally cool down. But this time right now, barbecues, you know, we got Memorial Day, swimming pools are open. I'm already looking at, like, Longview Beach trying to get season.
It was pretty good this series, too. With the homestand, he's really good. So he sets the tone. And I think if you got 4 or 5 good bats at the top with Mikel, you know, he can be up and down. But if he gets it going, I think there's good things that are happening there when he sets the tone.
All right, let's flip over real quick to OTAs today. I guess
the other number 7.
Yeah, dude. Oh man, no, it's crazy, man. Like I said, the Chiefs can take a damn back seat. They've had the spotlight, and I know that, you know, they were practicing today, and oh man, they didn't have pads on, and 15 threw a ball to Hollywood, and it was deep, like. Do you see any sort of difference that you haven't seen? Like, it's very vague tonight with the Chiefs. Harold, like, was there anything different from any other session that you've seen in the last 7 years that have been led by 15 in the Chiefs?
No, I mean, but they're going to try. I sent some 2018 vibes coming with trying to get that ball vertical and quickly, too, with the speed of Hollywood Brown. With Rashee, with whatever his availability may be during the regular season. Of course, Xavier, when he's healthy, he was out with a tweaked hamstring. But we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, I think this is going to be a vertical passing attack. They're trying to get something going back that way. And they're going to use that speed. And that's the biggest takeaway from this because it's a passing camp. I mean, they're not even going to get the pads in training camp where we can actually run the ball and see what they got going on there. But, frankly, they're trying to get vertical. And this team needs to get vertical. They have to evolve as an offense because you can't just do the same thing over and over. Other teams are going to figure something out eventually. I mean, they did. We saw that when they figured it out in one of the grandest stages of them all and when it came to the Super Bowl, and they figured things out there. But although that was with the benefit of an offensive line being down. But, yeah, they got to get back to being vertical. They know they got to be more explosive in their attack. I mean, there is plenty of statistics that were thrown out there last year about not being a deep threat enough. how Tyreek was going to do it. I mean, they still won the Super Bowl, but there's always room for improvement. And that's the good thing about the Kansas City Chiefs organization is that they have room for improvement. I like the fact that they're facing a defense that they know them well. They know them well. Like, both sides know each other well, so it's good competition out there. And even in a little period like OTAs where it's just shells, they're still getting after it. And, I mean, it's a good thing to have that level of competition. The secondary is getting tested. Even Trent McDuffie saying today, like, look, they're rolling back there. He knows they can go deep. And Hollywood adds a different element to that. That deep threat's going to be something to look out for this season for sure.
Who takes the place of a Legarius Sneed? I know he's not really replaceable. He's a stud corner. He's on a Tennessee Titans team for some reason. I don't know. But what do you see this year? Obviously, you bring up the defense. I know it may not be the same as last year's defense. There's a chance it could be better. I don't know if that's possible. But Who takes over that place for Legarius Sneed? Who's kind of that battery mate to Trent McDuffie? Because I assume he slides over and he's captain of the cornerback room at this point.
Well, it's important to note that they have a couple guys back and a couple guys that are going to improve. Shamari Connor is a player that Trent McDuffie said today. He's going to be all over the place. He's a switchblade. In fact, Shamari Connor was asking Trent McDuffie for help on certain places and certain positions with certain coverages. And Trent's like, even I don't even know that because that's not my role. Like, you got that going. And Trent's going to have to step up and be a leader. He admitted he has to be vocal to take that role. So I kind of see them reverting back to, like, maybe not somebody just a lockdown corner on a receiver like the way Legarius was, but maybe to a little bit of committee. But the fact that they have Brian Cook back, the fact that they have Najee Johnson back from his ACL tear in training camp, Brian Cook looks back. He's cutting. He's doing good things out there. He's active. You have obviously Josh Williams. You have Jalen Watson. It's available competition, but it's good competition for the young guys. It's going to be interesting to see when they get to training camp and throughout even OTAs. Because this is a passing camp, what they can do. And they got options back there. I think that's why, I mean, let's add in Nick Jones. Obviously, you can add in Jalen Hicks, the rookie that was just drafted from Washington State, and Hicks. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got some options back there. I think there's a lot of guys, and that's going to be a good position to watch going forward because there's going to be some pretty talented guys that might find themselves on the block looking for gigs at other places too. So, that's going to be very competitive. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that secondary swings out because it's not going to be locked down anymore. It's going to be by committee. But, again, when you go to training camp up there in St. Joe, they're going to be doing well on speed and a lot of guys that are improving and also looking for jobs, too, on the receiving end. So we'll be watching some one-on-ones for sure at training camp and see how it all progresses because there are some guys that definitely have the opportunity to make a name for themselves. They got to go out there and get it.
Yeah, I've already said I think I'm going to have a feeling that we're going to lead St. Joe day one at St. Joe on Saturday morning with the Royals topic because, look, Harold, the ship leaves tomorrow. The all-in ship leaves tomorrow. You've got 24 hours on the off day to get on the boat because it doesn't turn around. Harold, it's not going to turn around and pick you up in June 15th when they win 2 out of 3 versus Cleveland and sweep your Yankees. So you got till tomorrow.
They're not my Yankees.
I know.
Not my Yankees. I mean, if we want to talk about my team is actually better than the Yankees, Philadelphia Phillies. That's the one. That's the team I grew up with. So
that's fair.
That's, it's all right.
The all-in ship leaves tomorrow. So if you want to cocktail it up with your boy on the top tier of the deck, we got to know by tomorrow if you're ready.
I'm ready to go all in.
Okay.
Okay. Tomorrow, if you're saying tomorrow, I'll go all in.
Okay.
But I want to see, the pitching, the health is important.
Yep.
The pitching health is important. Like, if they shove the way they're shoving, and what happens when the adjustment to the adjustment is, that's what I always say about baseball. Mm-hmm. It's always fascinating to watch when the adjustment to the adjustment is made. And I don't think we've seen some slight adjustments, but I don't think we've seen the full, hitters are kind of figuring some things out here. Like, we thought Reagans might have got figured out a little bit, but turns out he really hasn't been because he had great performances booking in this homestand. So there's a lot to offer and a lot to see out there, but we just got to watch it. I mean, it's going to be fun to see. I mean, I want to, like, again, knowledgeably, I want to wait till June. I want to see how they play against these teams in the dog days.
Nah, that's nonsense.
If you want to go all in, like, first off, I thought 75 wins would be pretty good for this team. I thought 80 would be exceptional.
Well, they're going to have that 80, July.
80, 85. They might. I mean, well, I don't know if they have to go on. But, but again, like, it just looks good now. But they humbled the Tigers. They're supposed to humble the Athletics. They're doing what they should do. They're beating bad teams, mm-hmm. and they're beating the brakes out of them. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I like to see. Like, you take a bad team like Oakland that comes to town, a team you should probably sweep, and you sweep them. You take, like, the White Sox when they won 6 or 7 of them earlier in the year. Obviously the Mariners and the Rangers, you know, those are some battles, but those teams are in contention in the NLS. They have all the signs of a team that's doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, like, when they go to the Rays, they should win that series.
Mm-hmm.
They should take 2 or 3 from the Rays.
Oh, you know Matty Q wants that series.
Yeah. So there's a lot of factors at play here that say to yourself and to Royals fan self, there's an expectation now. So if you want to buy into the expectation, absolutely. If you want to buy into the expectation that they should earn a playoff spot, I say absolutely. You should go there because every statistical thing that you look at, when you look at the ERA, when you look at the top 4 in the lineup with their OPS, when you look at Salvi and the way he started the season, when you look at Bobby and his consistency, everything says this is a playoff team. So they should be held at a playoff standard. The only thing that is really key is, can they do it against teams that win?
Mm.
And we'll see that coming up later.
That's right. Well, you've had a long day, my man. I bid you adieu. I hope you get some sleep. It's been a long one for Harold. We gotta pick you up tomorrow on the Starburn side of the ship to Party Town. So, Harold, I appreciate the time. Get some rest, and we will talk to you again later this summer when we're in the middle of the winning ocean.
All right, man.
Take care. Harold Koontz of Fox 4. He's a little tired. He might be a little tired. I'm not. We're here till 9 o'clock coming up. The NBA, one of its greatest things it's ever produced. Not on the court, but off the court. We may never see again, and there's a game tonight. I get to talk a little bit of NBA because it's relevant. It's After Hours of 610 Sports Radio. Back here on 610 Sports Radio After Hours. So I want to have like a slight conversation with you. Text line 913-586-7610. That's the Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line, James, Dusty, we're with you until 9 o'clock. Fast first hour. It always goes by fast. You mean to tell me, and from what I've seen from more people, that you'd rather have early fall than what's outside right now? Dude, James, you shake your head, man. I brought up what's the best season of all. Like, where do you rank it? And I would say 7 out of 10 people would respond and say that, like, late September to mid-October is the best, is the prime, is the filet mignon of seasons. Where I've always said, the end of May to, like, mid-June cannot be topped.
100%. And I don't know, maybe people are thinking, like, they're just tired of the summer. They're tired of the heat. Mm-hmm. And then when we come down, you know, that those September months, October months, it's a relief. And no doubt about it. It's a relief to finally cool down. But this time right now, barbecues, you know, we got Memorial Day, swimming pools are open. I'm already looking at, like, Longview Beach trying to get season passes.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, this is the perfect weather. I just can't agree with everyone else on that.
It's just tough. Like, early spring, late fall, but, like, late spring, very early summer, 74 degrees. 74 degrees outside at 7 o'clock.
I mean, chef kiss.
Yeah. Mwah. And you can stay out later. You can plan a tea time at 6, not 6, at 4:30 and still get 18 in. You can sit on your patio at 9 o'clock at night with not a lick of sunlight in shorts. I don't know. I don't know how you can beat this. I don't know how you can beat this weather. Something that you'll never be able to beat is the TNT crew currently on TV right now as the Mavs and the Timberwolves getting ready to start. Go Anthony Edwards. I mean, I've been
inebriated a couple of games, and I thought I was seeing like the son of Michael Jordan. But this crew, there's a chance we may never see them again. And it's sad because there is not a crew on a sports pregame show. And again, ESPN and TNT Sports have reached a 5-year agreement for TNT Sports to sublicense select college football playoff games from ESPN. Beginning with the upcoming college football season, TNT will present 2 first-round college football playoff games during 24 and 25. And also, if you've heard, there's a chance that they will maybe not have this crew anymore. And it's tough. I don't know if they come back. I don't know if they keep them together. I don't know if Chuck, Kenny, Shaq, and why am I blanking on the other? Ernie. I don't know if they're all going to stick together. But the NBA is expected to finalize deals this week with the Disney, NBC, and Amazon. Warner Brothers will have a chance to counteroffer, but it's unlikely as they are $40 billion in debt and reportedly will need to pay more than $2.6 billion to match the bid. I don't think there's a better crew, and I've said this multiple times, than Shaq, Ernie, Kenny, and Chuck. And when you listen to your favorite shows or you watch your favorite sitcom, whatever it is, it's because there's chemistry. Whether they're actors or not, chemistry still has to exist. You watch the Royals and enjoy what they're doing, correct? That's team chemistry. You watch pre and post game. All of these guys present something different, right? Shaq is the anomaly. 7'2", goofy, doesn't turn down an endorsement, has a funny personality. Half the time you don't understand what he's saying, but he's great. Kenny Smith is kind of the, in, you know, kind of like, I'm the smarter of the three athletes on this show. I'm the more intelligent one. I see it from a better angle than these two guys who are jokers, and I bust balls. And I get away with it, right? I've won 2 titles with the Rockets. Hey, Chuck, how many did you win? Not many. At all, none. And then there's Charles Barkley, who is Charles Barkley. Right? He gives, and they all give, good analysis in their own way. They're all funny. They're their own individuals, and they just kind of play off each other well because, one, they know each other very well, and two, they all kind of trust each other to have that sort of, hey, I know where he's at. Yeah, it looks like we're having an aggressive conversation, call it that, but at the end of the day, none of these guys hate each other. None of these guys dislike each other. And one of the best segments of all time on this pregame and postgame show.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
You way out of order right now.
Shaq at the pool.
They lost Shaq in that segment. If you remember that, when Charles Barkley said, "When you're banging guys, Chuck doesn't know where he's at. Shaq is gone. Shaq's about to choke on his own saliva from laughing." And Ernie, the dad of the group, takes that segment, puts it into his own, lets those kids just continue to play on the playground, and says it's 69-59. We'll be back after this. And Kenny's just like, you know what? Not a chance. Not touching it. One more time.
I mean, he's just banging and banging and banging. When a guy's banging you, you spin off of him. Those are the worst defenders to play against, actually. Because if you can feel their body, come on.
18 points for Joker, only Nugget in double figures. 69-59. Golden State shooting 67.
Way out of order right now. Way out.
Back at the pool.
Coming up next, those damn Guardians, man. Those damn Guardians. Sorry for cussing. That's James. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening After Hours of 610 Sports Radio.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.